KALW.
My first year, to be totally honest, it kind of blew my mind. I remembered being like, what can I bring next year? What can I do? I want to have some part of this.
My first year at Burning Man, I was just super resistant and just really skeptical of being like, this is some utopia. And I'm like, how? For whom?
I spent a lot of my life being afraid of my power. What I've learned from being at Burning Man is that it's a place where I can be in my power and get connection. As a black person, I don't have that opportunity many other places.
What this city offers us is a place to imagine what we want our society to be.
I think for folks of color in particular, it is so rare to have a space where you can have the luxury of being free to be adventurous and stupid and super creative and absurd, right? This is that space. We deserve it. I know, I'm going to start crying myself. Aww. That's why people of color have to come. We have to do affirmative things. I think in this time, this is fucking crucial. We have to. This is how we save ourselves. You know? I'm so sorry. It got really dark.
No, don't be sorry.
Why
don't
are you
be sorry?
Sorry.
I don't know. I don't know. That wasn't dark. That was real. Thank you for that.
Welcome back to The Intersection at Burning Man. One of the 10 guiding principles of Burning Man is radical inclusion. It's plastered all over their website, in videos and newsletters, on posters, and even tattooed on sunburner's skin. It's defined as, quote, "Anyone may be a part of Burning Man. We welcome and respect the stranger. No prerequisites exist for participation in our community." But here's the thing. The community isn't and has never been racially diverse. The mix of people really hasn't changed that much since I started going in 1996. More than two decades later, the population of Black Burners is still roughly 1%, and less than 5% of the people here identify as Hispanic or Latino. This is also reflected in the art. Of the more than 430 art installations funded by Burning Man in the last 5 years, only 4 have been led by Black artists. In this episode, recorded mostly at Burning Man in 2019, we'll explore why there seems to be a disconnect between racial and radical inclusion, and what some burners are doing to change that. Fabiana Rodriguez is one of those people. She's been working hard to make Black Rock City more racially inclusive and equitable. And 2 weeks before we head to the playa, she launched a petition directed at Burning Man's board of directors. The list of demands includes anti-racism training, more people of color on the board, and a plan for racial inclusion with clear, measurable goals. We connect on the phone as I run around San Francisco picking up items on my 3-page Burning Man packing list.
So we're going to talk a lot in the desert, hopefully.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm curious, when did you release the petition?
On Monday.
And what's the response then?
We've already hit 1,000. And, you know, the comments on there are really great.
Fabiana is a first-generation Peruvian-American. She grew up in the Fruitvale and spent much of her childhood in the Latinx community of East Oakland. And at 16, she was activated by California's Proposition 187, an anti-immigrant ballot measure that was eventually deemed unconstitutional. She's still working for immigration and racial justice, but she's also the co-founder and president of the Center for Cultural Power.
I'm helping shape national policy on arts and culture. And I just came back from a week-long women in climate leadership gathering, and I was like, oh my God, and I'm going to Burning Man.
Thankfully, Fabiana has agreed to be my guide on the playa, because I have to admit I am a little apprehensive about reporting on this. Something just feels off about a middle-aged white guy rolling up with a microphone in the middle of a party and asking, what's it like to be a burner of color? My assumption, this is probably the last thing people of color want to talk about at Burning Man. They probably spend plenty of time explaining structural racism to white people in the default world. But Fabiana is all in.
So here's what I think. We're in a moment of national reckoning in this country. It's about Time's Up. It's about Black Lives Matter. We're able to name now certain things in our culture that we could not name before. And for Burning Man, that is supposed to be a place where we are engaging in radical culture and radical expression. It's like they're missing the train on it. And I think that what they don't see is the real cost of that. And I want to change it because I really love what it could be. So I almost feel like it's a time to really have, it's like a confrontation in a way.
I meet Faviana on the playa at K-Viva, her camp at Burning Man. K-Viva was founded in 2013 by arts lawyer Brooke Oliver and by Juanita Chavez, daughter of civil rights legend Dolores Huerta. From the get-go, it's been a band of artists and agitators who, like Faviana, are working for social justice. After the killings of Michael Brown and Eric Garner in 2014, Sandra Bland in 2015, and the growing momentum of the Black Lives Matter movement, the camp became more explicit about the need for racial justice and inclusion on the playa. They've become known to Sunburners as the Black Lives Matter camp because of the massive banner they hang up facing the street. And that's how I finally spot the camp.
Good to meet you in person.
Yes, great to meet you in person
after
as well.
All of this. So I want to start with a question.
Sure.
You have cultural capital.
Yes.
And it's limited, as is anything is finite like that. Why spend it here?
There is no other place like Burning Man. And this is a place that is having global cultural influence. This is an experiment founded on things that could actually help make our world a better place. The values of radical inclusion, of participation, of civic responsibility are things we should take to the outside world.
And it's worth your time.
And it's worth my time because this place has been transformative for me, and I know, and it's been transformative for many of my campmates.
That includes Jamila Reddy, a writer and spiritual teacher from Charlotte, North Carolina.
The why for me around Burning Man is because I've had so much healing and discoveries, like made so many epiphanies, done so much growing at Burning Man.
But for Jamila, it was not love at first burn.
My first year at Burning Man, I was just super resistant and skeptical. And also like, this is some utopia, and I'm like, how? For whom? And my third day at Burning Man, I went to a workshop, Being Black at Burning Man. And this black woman who had been to Burning Man for like 15 years, she said, if you're experiencing resistance, if you are closed off, if you're thinking these white people aren't here for me and this is not a space for me, I urge you to let that go. It's not helping you. Trust me. And I did. I just knew she meant it.
And?
I had an amazing time. Now I've been back 5 years in a row. I just am so grateful. I feel like so much of who I am and the wisdom that I have, I got here.
But as her campmate Marlon Williams explains, there's a reason it's hard to let go of the fear and anxiety that comes with being a person of color, even in Black Rock City.
This city is an American city. It is in the United States, which means it has this deep racial history.
And that racial history comes with a lot of emotional scarring.
My first year, I was terrified about the concept of radical self-expression. How I've stayed safe in the world was by knowing social cues and knowing how to blend in, how to make other people comfortable. And so I came and, yeah, I just freaked out about, like, what do I wear? I think my first day I walked around in, like, cargo shorts and a button down because I'm like, that's what the white people wear, cargo shorts. I just want to blend in. I spent a lot of my life being afraid of my power. As a black man, I felt that being fully in my power meant that people would attack it or be afraid of it, and I deeply wanted connection. And what I've learned from being at Burning Man is it's a place where I can be in my power and get connection. As a black person, I don't have that opportunity many other places, and it's an opportunity to heal, to love, and that's not just reserved for like white folks.
Marlon's day job is advising cities on how to be more equitable and inclusive. He applies those ideas to Black Rock City, which he believes could become a model.
What I feel like my mission to do is to bring black folks and people of color into this place so we can celebrate together with everyone else and have that experience of joy. Like the most radical thing you can do is just have joy, especially when you have this history of oppression. Joy pushes back against pain and pushes back against violence.
Faviana agrees.
I feel like this is my home, and I want to help create a home that includes so many more people who look like me and from communities where I grew up.
But for Faviana, it's also a space of deep frustration. The Faviana I meet on the phone was passionate, but also playful. The Faviana I meet on Playa is edgier, angrier. I ask her if anything's changed. And, well, it has.
Today, I went to go visit my friends, and I ran into Marianne, the CEO.
She's referring to Marianne Goodell, CEO of the Burning Man Project.
And I had ran into Marianne a few days ago, and I said, Marianne, I would like to come deliver some petitions to you that are our ask from over 2,500 people that the board adopt real steps towards radical inclusion now. And here are our recommendations, and we would like to have a delivery to you so that you could accept our petitions and that we can invite the press and the media to witness that. And she said she did not have time to do that.
Instead, Faviana says Marianne suggested that they meet back in the Bay Area after the event.
And I said, no, actually the time to meet is now, because the theme is metamorphosis and we're at Burning Man. And this is the place where we can resolve this. This is Burning Man. This is why we come back year after year. And it did not go well.
According to Faviana, Marianne got very defensive and said that she didn't like her tone.
Which is essentially, hey, woman of color, when you talk to me about race, you sound angry or loud. So today I went back and I went to say hi to my friend. I was looking for them, was walking through the kitchen. And Marianne walks over to me and essentially says, I have a real problem with you being here when you haven't paid for the lunch plan.
Faviana says that Marianne explained that the org's On Playa dining hall was only for people on the lunch plan.
And I said, the lunch plan? I said, I'm here because my friends invited me, and the other day I ate here because one of the board members and your friends invited me to come eat. Imagine, I'm a national leader. To ask me about a lunch plan is a highly racialized way. It's a classist and a racialized way of basically treating me in some way that I broke some rule, which is actually no rule, because this is Burning Man. This is about gifting.
Clearly, she's pissed.
I'm more than pissed, I'm hurt. Because, and I actually started crying. I cried because what it has taken for me to return year after year, I'm working on helping immigrant families stay together. I'm working on fighting climate change. I'm working on creating racial justice movements. Our communities are under attack. For me to spend time here at Burning Man is a gift. It's a gift to the leadership that I am creating an opportunity for them to actually talk about this. And in a culture where they talk about gifting, this is it. Your moment is here, guys. But the CEO is displaying signs of white fragility and has actually challenged me, not on the content at all of my petition, but on my way of delivering. Why are you here in my space? You don't belong here. You have not paid for the lunch ticket. I love this song.
I ask her how Marianne might defend herself.
I think she would say, I have many other things to take care of, and I don't like how she's talking to me. You know, I mean, they said this about all civil rights leaders. And actually, Frederick Douglass said, power does not concede willingly. It never does.
For now, Faviana is done with Marianne. Instead, she's decided to focus her outreach on the board, which historically has been a mix of tech entrepreneurs, artists and media makers, as well as Burning Man's cultural founders who have lifetime seats.
It is not okay in 2019 to have arts organizations that want to have a global impact have majority white boards. Because you do not want to be that organization anymore. You just don't. You don't want to roll like that. In my letter, I said, I would love to serve as a board member. I would love to help shape and contribute as I already am.
Another person trying to make Burning Man more inclusive and accessible to people of color is photographer Erin Douglas.
I heard about the petition prior, and I honestly wasn't sure how I felt about it. I knew that our mission was the same, but it was very clear that how to go about it were different. I wouldn't consider myself an activist. Faviana, I would consider an activist and have been doing this work for a long time, dealing with top people and the asks and the demands.
Erin is the woman behind the Black Burner Project, which started as a series of portraits of burners of color, feeling their power on the playa.
Me, I am just someone who just kept going with the mission I've always had to encourage people of color to travel more, anybody to travel more. And I found this niche where I wanted to make sure that people of color specifically were seeing themselves in this community so that they know that they were welcomed.
Like many burners, including myself, Erin was introduced to Burning Man by a friend who had been. And she only went because that friend gave her a ticket for her birthday in 2017. She didn't do much research, but what she saw on social media wasn't exactly comforting.
I'm only seeing, like, white people.
So as the event approached, Erin was uncharacteristically nervous.
And I think it was just, one, that there are these known misconceptions. Also, I had never been camping before. And so it wasn't until I finally remembered that I did know someone, a Black guy who went, and got on the phone with him. He just reassured me that everything, I was going to be okay. And he connected me to his girlfriend. I had questions about my hair and I had no one that I could ask.
What was your question?
It was just like, you know, our hair is different. So how did your hair stand up in the dust? Like, what did you have to do? How did you wear it? Will it be okay? You know, like those types of things. So I was still nervous, but he just reassured me that to not expect anything and just go out there and, you know, have a blast. So I was like, okay.
She remembers pulling off the two-lane road into a swirl of dust.
And by the time we got in, it was dark, dark. I think I was like deer in headlights. Like, I don't know what this is. And I feel alone.
Things didn't get much better in the daylight.
The next day, I went off, grabbed the bike, and I consider myself pretty fit. And I was having the hardest time riding my bike. And I mean, we biked and we biked and we biked out to the man and we biked out to the temple. And I was getting scared because I, like, the only way I could bike was to, like, stand up. And I couldn't get the water out of my water pack straw. And all I could vision was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to like pass out my first day. We finally get to the man, I think. And I had this epiphany to check the tires. And I had two completely flat tires that I've been riding on for like 40 minutes.
Erin brought her camera, but it took her a couple of days to take it out.
I kind of wanted to get the lay of the land a little bit more and the vibes of people before, you know, entering their space with a camera.
Erin's photographs are stunning. And when she returned home after the 2017 burn, she did what she always does after a trip. She posted some photos to Instagram. The response was unexpected.
There were people who were seeing my photos and hadn't heard about it before and were curious, you know, like, what is this dusty stuff and where the heck are you, you know? Or, you went to Burning Man? I've always known about Burning Man. I've never known anyone of color or who looks like me who's been to Burning Man. What was it like? Should I go? Will I like it? It all had to do with the same thing, that they didn't see themselves there. So I just was like, you know what, maybe I should go back and take more photos of people of color.
And the next year, she did. I returned to K-Viva camp Tuesday morning. Fabiana has had a chance to regroup and hatch a plan.
I woke up and I just thought to myself, you know, this is not something I can continue doing alone. So from now on, I'm going to really lean on my camp.
This morning, she went with her campmate, Marlon, to meet with some of Burning Man's staff. She wanted to tell them about what she experienced with Marion and talk more about the petition.
And what I realized just almost instantly was that there's actually a lot of people within the organization who want to see this happen. And it's almost a generational divide.
She says that the younger staffers who help the city run day to day were more than receptive.
Who are so ready and hungry for this. It reminded me, there's so many moving parts to this event.
It's more than the board or CEO. There are artists, theme camps, staff members, volunteers, and a city of potential allies and co-conspirators.
And I just felt reinvigorated after being very depressed yesterday. This is going to take a lot of us. This is like moving a mountain.
Undeterred, she and her campmates decide to lean into their activist roots and do something that's rarely, if ever, done on the playa. Plan a protest march. But it's already Tuesday, and this is Burning Man, so there are some unique challenges.
In a city of 75,000 people, in 24 to 36 hours, in a culture where time, nobody fucking checks their clock, how are we going to get people to show up? When we're also competing against the best parties.
So how are you going to do this?
This is where we use our power.
Faviana is buzzing.
This is what I love, because I'm a leader, and here I get to lead. You know, I'm wearing a dress. I'm not wearing any underwear. You know, my bush is just shining through. This is how I lead out here. I'm naked most of the time, trying to figure out how we're going to take down white supremacy while also ensuring that I have my orgasm and that the food is not rotting. And making sure that we're creating a safe space for burners of color. So it's a lot, and I love it.
So at the camp meeting this evening, she'll report back on the meeting with Burning Man staff, and then they'll strategize next steps as a group.
We're also talking about our fun times and our magic things we want to do together on playa.
Yeah.
Because those are also important, right? On the list of business is how do we address racial justice on playa and who brought the fun stuff? You know?
I join Kayviva for dinner.
I know, right?
And after we fill up our plates with Malabari curry, the meeting begins.
Okay, hey everyone, we're gonna go ahead and get started. Welcome, welcome. We have like two main items of business to take care of. One of them is to think through our strategy of how we are going to deliver the petition and also engage the organization in some dialogue. We did get a second board member who said they would receive. We also got some. We got indication that it would also be other staff members. So that's what we know. So we actually need a name of our action. Because I know petition delivery sounds very like wonky and kind of boring and not fun. The theme of this year at Burning Man is metamorphosis, which means obviously change.
You could just call it a migration.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, I would say brainstorm and ask other folks. So can we list out camps who we think we can drop off some flyers. It would be great to have white allies, not just people of color, join us.
Comfort and Joy.
Comfort and Joy.
Gate and Perimeter.
Gate and Perimeter. Laka Laka too. Milk and Honey. Distracted?
Dick-stracted.
Dick-stracted. Okay.
They come up with a list of about 20 different theme camps.
Obviously, we don't have a copy machine out here, and we don't have phones.
So they're going to have to handwrite flyers.
As soon as we know the time, we'll say, meet at Kayviva, da-da-da-da. And then we can assign people to go to camps and distribute them. I would ask the white folks in our camp to please do that labor, to really try to see for the big camps if there's a way that y'all can make announcements. Just because I feel very self-conscious about making an announcement in a camp of folks I don't know, and I don't know how others feel. And I think it's a lift. Okay, cool. Does anyone have any questions or anything they want to say about this strategy or any?
Sharifa. One thing that I want to ask about, can we do to help be inclusive to the folks from Backfire?
That's a great question. How can we be inclusive of our deaf campmate friends? I wonder if it's possible to get an ASL interpreter. Thank you for reminding us to be inclusive. Okay, cool. So we have a plan. Yay, folks! So we're gonna get to do some real fun organizing on playa. Very excited about that. And now we can move on to our next topic, which is fun things. Oh, you can turn it off now. Thank you, Boo.
Thank you.
Oh, we're biting into a cold piece of watermelon.
Can I get a crunch?
I return the next day around noon. It's already scorchingly hot.
Wow.
Yeah.
What this feels like out here, right? Let's just savor this.
Faviana is in a very good mood.
Today I'm feeling just much more that things are flowing. There's almost like a tension building up that I'm really excited to see where it leads. Energetically, I now feel like I'm in my place of power.
Yeah.
And it's all lining up. It's lining up! Yep, and I have had two orgasms last night and two this morning.
While I would love to chat more about her orgasms, the petition delivery to the board and staff of Burning Man is in just 2 days, and I want to hear how planning is going.
We will have a group of folks meeting us at 3:30.
Do you know who you're meeting with there yet?
I know that for sure we're going to have folks from the communications team. I'm hoping my friend Trippy, who used to help run some of placement and who is definitely an active white ally, is also there. And we're also hoping for some board members.
They've also been finding some punk rockish ways to get the word out.
My name is Yolkai, Y-O-L-K-A-I, or Daddy. And my partner's name is Little Daddy, or Rosie. And we, our art project back in the default world is the Gay Crime Factory.
They are guerrilla artists in the Bay Area. Their medium is stencils and spray paint. Typically, their canvas is a sidewalk, a blank t-shirt, a construction site.
We make stencils about politically pertinent things. Our most famous stencil, it's Punch Nazis, probably.
The camp planned to handwrite every flyer, but Big Daddy's skills came to the rescue.
I was like, can I? I can. I think I can. I can design a stencil for a tiny flyer that we can hand out to all the camps to really get people with the really specific information they need to come and be here and support us. I did feel rather pleased with myself about my efforts in this area. I made maybe 50, but I might make more. I gave you some to take with, yeah?
I really shouldn't be as a quote-unquote journalist.
I believe in you.
Yeah, I believe in me,
being
too.
Being a journalist doesn't excuse you from your duty as a white person to further the cause of racial justice.
I hear that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Burning Man is an emotional and physical roller coaster with intense highs and lows. So it's not surprising that the mood around K-Viva is different when I return the next day.
We are hot. There's a tremendous lack of sleep. The environment here breaks us, and you just see the exhaustion on people's faces. And so I'm just chatting with Jazz, my co-lead for this year.
I am indeed extremely exhausted, and not just from the physical heat or just the physical labor, but I think just being out here and just realizing that this space was not curated for us.
On the one hand, K-Viva is feeling the support from a lot of white burners like Slim. He was just passing by and saw the Black Lives Matter signs.
We were driving by in the parade earlier. I saw your camp.
These are our demands of the organization.
Oh, are you the ones doing the petition?
Yes.
Burning Man is very diverse. We have white people here from all over the world.
Yeah. You
know, both subjectively and objectively, we know that this community is not as diverse as it should be, and we can do a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to be critical of the things that you love. So,
okay, great.
Thank you for what you're doing.
But then there are also burners who push back at the camp's social justice message.
Like, it's already happened twice where a white person comes marching into our kitchen and says, I need to talk to somebody about that sign. They come to basically drop their shit on all their unprocessed race stuff. And
what are they dropping?
They're basically saying, you know, we're all free here. And also that, like, why Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter? You know, why do we have to separate? I have a black friend, son, black wife, same shit.
A lot of burners will see our Black Lives Matter sign and say, Burning Man is not a political space.
The fact that you could gather 75,000 white people in the desert, relatively unpatrolled, unengaging with the police, is an extreme display of white privilege. You cannot gather 75,000 black people here, okay?
How can an event that's over 90% white not be a political fact in itself, right?
Despite this, Jazz, who is Japanese and black, has had some moments of magic and levity out here.
I had this beautiful, glorious experience with some of our campmates at the Reformation, where you get completely lathered in soap and dance and be naked, and a beautiful reminder of what freedom in our bodies could actually look like.
But the good vibes didn't last long. Almost immediately after, she spotted a massive art car shaped like an atomic bomb.
And at the bottom of the perimeter are origami cranes. The Japanese made origami cranes as a method of healing and community recovery after the atomic bomb murdered thousands of people. And we asked what the camp name was, and it's called something absolutely ridiculous like Bomagami. And there were these white guys who were just dancing on this fucking art car. And I just broke down. I couldn't deal with that. And I was explaining the same story to a white person, and they were like, oh, of course, because you're Japanese, you have that impact. I'm like, no, everyone needs to be impacted by that. Everyone needs to understand that that is not even, not just violent imagery, that is colonial messaging, that is extremely unacceptable for that to be in this space. And for us to know that this container has allowed for an art car like that to get through inspection, I had a moment of not wanting to believe in this space anymore.
Her campmate, Jamila Reddy, says this is what people of color mean when they talk about emotional labor.
I can't even articulate it because it's in my body, the toll it takes. It is truly like I had done a triathlon. I mean, that's when we were out sleeping, both of us, out. Jazz was like, I have to take a nap. And I'm like, wow, that's the effect. Actually, it feels confusing. I'm kind of like, I did all of this work, truly, to get here. I'm using all of my vacation hours. Why? You know, if I'm doing all this work and all this labor to be here, what am I doing it for? Especially with all this energy around the petition, like, is this really the cause? That we're all doing all this work, you know? Like, is this it?
She's also not sure about her camp's strategy.
I think the thing I'm learning is that there might be some creating that needs to happen on our part. You know, I'm like, man, like, maybe we need to show the evidence of possibility of what happens when it's actually POC-led and it's actually inclusive. It's like asking someone to cook a meal that you know how to cook without giving them a recipe and trying to kind of talk them through the recipe, and they're like, what? They don't have the ingredients. But I'm like, our pantry is stocked. And so maybe, actually, what I really want to do is sit here and be served this delicious meal. That's really what I want, if I'm being honest. But I think I'm just going to have to make it.
That's precisely what photographer Erin Douglas is doing with her Black Burner project. You see, midweek through her second year at Burning Man, she was sitting around at her camp talking with some folks about the photos she was taking, and offhandedly, she mentioned that she would love to gather all the people of color on the playa for a group photo.
And this guy, he just said, well, just do it. Just start telling people, like, a location, time, and date, and just do it. And I was just like, oh, okay, you know. So I started telling it whoever I saw, and, leaving my camp that day, I did not think anybody was going to show up. I really didn't. I was very nervous. I had to convince myself that I would be okay if three people showed. I just didn't want to be standing out there by myself, but, and I get over there and I was like, oh, wait, there's people here, you know? Like, oh, I think about 30 people, 35 people who showed up. Definitely cried, like, biking away from that. I was very emotional.
Why?
It had a lot to do with coming in as an artist who self-taught, and my confidence has been low, you know, most of my life, and especially in regards to me as an artist. So it started to, like, really break down some of those things and what I was capable of achieving if I just did it or tried or believed in it.
This year, there's plenty of buzz around Erin's project. In fact, all week, people have been telling her that she needs to be at this group photo.
Not knowing that I was the person putting it on. And, I'm humble, so I would just be like, oh, okay, great, I'll be there. But my friends would be like, she's the more person, you know, like, she's doing it.
Today is the day Faviana and Kayviva Camp will deliver their petition to the board and staff of Burning Man.
It's like we're in the metamorphosis time.
Yeah, we are.
What is the stage? It's called?
Chrysalis.
The shit is about to start. I'm going to start getting ready.
By 2:30, there's a buzz of activity and anticipation at Kayviva as about 150 marchers gather. The crowd is largely white, which makes sense given the demographics of Burning Man.
Let's go ahead and start with a grounding breath. Let's breathe in our shared intention to radically transform this place. So at the count of three, one, two, three.
Now, it's important to keep in mind what else is going on the Playa right now. There are hundreds of gatherings and events, including 4 official orgies, talks on biohacking, psychedelics, and capitalism, workshops on dream interpretation, leadership, and the activated womb. You can take a sonic spaceship ride, get a snow cone, make a friendship bracelet, or go to a classical piano recital of Nirvana tunes. As it turns out, Erin's group photo also overlaps with the march.
Great. We are hoping that the folks of color can march in the front, followed by our deaf campmates backfire, because inclusion really means all of us. When we are all free, that is when true transformation can happen. And then I invite white allies to be in the back.
While we're waiting to start moving, I approach 2 women, one white and one black.
Could you guys mind talking for a sec?
Fine with it, but I will defer to my campmate, Nika.
Sure, why not? My name is Marnika Shelton, also known as Nika Sherrell. I'm from Oakland, California. This is my first burn. And right now, we are walking to Center Camp to get to know Playa and check in with a rideshare.
Okay.
Oh, you're not coming to the petition.
The
this
petition.
Is a petition drama for
inclusion
at Burning Man.
That makes me so happy. I actually like walked up and I was like, what is this thing I found myself happily in? And now I'm glad that I'm happily in it. Yeah. I feel like that's how the burn works. Like, you find what you find, and you don't find what you don't find, but you can't be sad. So this is exactly where I need to be.
We're marching now, and they've asked for POC to be in the front and white folks to be in the back. And
look at that, black privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move! Inclusion! No! What do we want? And when do we want it?
Turn around! Come with us!
We need you! We need you! We need you!
No justice! No peace! No justice!
Look what you got yourself involved in.
I know, right? This is fantastic.
No justice! No peace! No justice, no peace!
The guy next to me is crying.
It's just really nice to see people of color gathering, because you don't really see it here.
Black Lives Matter at Black Rock City!
Black Lives Matter at Black Rock City!
Black Lives Matter at Black Rock City!
As the protest winds its way through the city towards Center Camp, I run into Marnika again.
Look at you, now you got a banner.
I know, right? I'm coming all the way up in the world.
Real quick.
I'll be leading this thing next.
We end up packed into a makeshift auditorium that's typically used for artist talks.
If you are a board member, I invite you to come join us right here. Do we have any?
It seems that none of the board or staff members have shown up.
If they are not here, then that is in fact a reflection of what you choose to prioritize and what you care about. If Burning Man is truly a place where folks come to get free, where we are imagining the cities of the future, where we are experimenting together to create the world we want, you cannot and you will not create that city without people of color at the center of that city.
People of color, there it is.
So I'm once again going to ask, who is here who will receive our ask to the organization?
Gustavo Campos, Burning Man's education project manager, raises his hand.
I'm not a board member, but I'll take it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gustavo. Thank you. So to our fellow siblings that make this city run, we speak to you from our hearts to ask you to create a more inclusive city for all of us. We thank you for being here and standing in solidarity
with us.
As this is wrapping up, 250 people of color from all over the playa are converging just a few hundred yards away for Aaron's group photo.
I need y'all to look powerful. I need y'all to look bold and fierce.
Just say, count off. 1, 2, 3.
Now counting off, okay?
Step back a little bit.
Even as she was about to take the group's photo, people of color kept jumping into the frame. Each time, they were met with a loud cheer.
1, 2, 3!
People were sliding in, and it wasn't until later where people were like, I was coming from the march and I found out there. So, it was interesting that they were happening at the same time and that I didn't know until after.
I catch up with Fabiana.
Talk to me.
I was actually shocked because I expected more of them in a moment like this. And I feel like heartbroken.
I remind her that she and her campmates organized a protest in the middle of the desert and that a lot of people showed up, including Torian Richardson.
I didn't know. I was just going by and saw it. I actually work in diversity and inclusion.
Oh, you do?
I do.
While I was here, there was people who committed to come, and they didn't show up. And
that from the board?
From the board. And they didn't show up. It's just a big message.
Well, whatever I can do. I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah.
I sit on two boards now.
Yeah, and you know that boards is where it's at.
Oh, that's what I said.
Why does that matter?
Because if you think about any diversity and inclusion project, all you have to do is look at their board of directors and their executive team to really determine how serious they are about real inclusion.
Because what does a board do?
Because a board dictates strategy, it dictates resource allocation, people, places, and things, right? Money that goes behind things, and the long-term vision of what's executed. It's the same thing with Burning Man.
And that is precisely why Fabiana is determined to get this petition in front of the board.
So we are asking the white allies to deliver this petition. There is at least one or two board members on that balcony right now in First Camp. Tell them that they have to take this on. Okay. I think you should go with them.
Do you want us to give this to them?
Yes, you can tie it to the balcony if you want. You can leave it there. This is for them.
Let's do it.
I tag along, very conspicuously, in a dusty ladybug outfit that I've been rocking for days.
Yeah, to this blue balcony right here to the left. We need a megaphone.
Yeah, we do need a megaphone.
Is anyone here on the board?
There's two members and they're all down there.
Oh, should we go down there? Let's go down there.
Okay.
Do you know any board members? We're leaving this here for them since they did not show up to meet with the amazing POC camp that led this action. So there you go. It's our gift, some guidelines, radical inclusion. Pass it along because I know y'all are community. You all know each other. I do, and absolutely.
So we get to make the principle more real and more from our heart.
Let's make it more real. I agree. I love it.
One world,
one humanity, and that's what it is.
And so that's why we're walking over here is because they didn't meet, and that's deeply upsetting in a world where people of color are being murdered and disenfranchised and coming here and trying to find a place of inclusion and not finding it. And so we actually have to take concrete steps to make this a place where they can find it. Please make sure that message gets along as best possible. Thank you.
We love Burning Man, and we want Burning Man to be radically inclusive, actually. And so,
is anyone here actually on the board? He is? You're on the board? Hi.
Yeah, I'm not doing interviews today.
Okay.
I will talk about my second book. So I have two books out. My second book, which will be out in December of 2020, is basically a guidebook on how we can save the planet for humanity. And it's what I've learned throughout my life. I'm 71 years old, and Burning Man is an example of how humans could live together in harmony.
So question for you, why do you think there's still like 1% black people here?
I can't answer that. I don't know. There's no reason that it shouldn't be higher. And I'd love to see it higher, at least at the same percentages that the people of color are in the world, and it should be that. One of our principles is radical inclusion, and I believe we live to that principle really well. So.
I hear that, and yet I guess these folks don't feel that that's happening.
Well, that would be their problem.
That they don't feel that it's happening?
Well, I mean, how do you make it happen? I mean, do you recruit? I mean, I don't know. Is that another form of segregation in a certain way? I mean, like the whole idea of picking on a particular part of our segment of population and recruiting, I'm not sure if that's what is needed. I think as we bring more people of color into the Black Rock City, then it will become a movement of that, and I think that that's about to take place.
So in terms of the board of directors, from what I understand, there are not people of color on it, or not, there's, I don't know.
Well, there's men and women, which is really nice. And I don't think there is anyone of color, although we do have Oriental people on the board. So it's not just white people. I mean, there are people of color, yeah. And again, I don't think any of that is on purpose. It's just the way it is.
Thank you. Do you mind introducing yourself and the name of your book?
I'm Will Roger. I'm one of the cultural co-founders of Burning Man. And my book is Compass of the Ephemeral by Small Works Press.
At the end of 2019, Burning Man added several new board members, including a married Iranian-American couple who made a fortune in tech, and Fab Five Freddy, a Black burner who also hosted Yo MTV Raps in the 1980s. Faviana did get her meeting with CEO Marion Goodell, but this February, KVIVA made an announcement they would not be returning to the Playa until, quote, we see evidence that the Burning Man organization is taking concrete steps to address its lack of racial diversity. And then the world changed. First, a pandemic spread across the globe and altered our day-to-day lives. We sheltered in place, hoping it would be for just a few weeks. As weeks turned to months, it became clear we wouldn't be returning to normal life anytime soon, and we would not be returning to the Playa this year. The world changed once again when George Floyd pleaded, "I can't breathe," as a police officer choked him to death by kneeling on his neck. It was one in a string of killings, and it sparked Black Lives Matter protests around the globe and a larger awakening around systemic racism in the United States and the lasting effects of slavery. It also activated something in Erin Douglas. To be more precise, she was disappointed by what she perceived as Burning Man's muted response to the killings and Black Lives Matter.
It gave no action items, so I couldn't tell where they stood and didn't say, like, we will not stand for. These are the things that we need to do, even if we haven't been doing them in the past. They didn't say any of that. And so people were like, oh, so you care more about being safe and protecting those people and letting them do that than about other demographics within your community. And if you're going to have something like radical inclusion at the top of your principles list, then you might need to like step back for a second and think about it, you know. And I think that's also when it clicked of like, this is where Faviana comes in and why she has something like a petition or these demands and is like, this is what we want. This is what you need to do.
And Erin has developed a list of her own demands.
I want tickets so that I can give tickets to virgin burners of color to make that an easier process. You know, you can want to go all you want, and you can have the money too, but getting a ticket is hard, you know?
She also wants to be able to give out grants to ensure that there is at least one additional artist of color each year. And she says she's seen some progress behind the scenes, even though the Burning Man project hasn't been public about it. The man in charge of that is Dominique Dubuquois-Dodley. Dom is the senior communications manager for Burning Man Project. He also happens to be Black. Dom started attending Burning Man in 2013.
My first year, to be totally honest, it kind of blew my mind. And I remembered being like, what can I bring next year? What can I do? I want to have some part of this.
From the get-go, he noticed it was a predominantly white space. But once he was hired and started overseeing the annual Black Rock City census, he learned that as a Black person, he was literally 1 in 100 at Burning Man.
It's a city on planet Earth. So to imagine that the numbers would reflect a different reality would be kind of ignorant.
What Dom was more interested in was why.
Why are the numbers the way they are? What's the history? Where did this event come from? What's the lineage of how we got to where we are? Because that helps explain the dynamics and the structure and the racial makeup and other demographics too.
Burning Man was started by a group of mostly white punks, hippies, and artists more than 30 years ago, and that's largely who's running it now. Dom and many on staff didn't need a petition to convince them that the lack of racial diversity was both real and unacceptable.
I think it also did surprise some people and felt like news and new issues.
The petition became a conversation starter for the organization.
And I think there was maybe a little bit of a slow uptake to recognize the urgency of some of the things that are in the petition. But I'm also very happy that we're having this conversation now. I think that this conversation maybe wouldn't have been possible a few years ago because we maybe wouldn't have been ready to have it.
It seems that the killings and rise of Black Lives Matter has forced the organization to move faster than perhaps feels comfortable.
When people say, well, Burning Man, why are you getting involved in this? Stay out of this. It's not really possible anymore. There is a right side of history pushing forward with a culture that supports an existing structure whereby people of color feel excluded, then something needs to change. Right now, we're in a space where even access and knowledge and understanding of the event is so often based in privilege and white culture that it's not really fair to say that we're doing everything we can be doing.
That does seem to be changing. In July, Burning Man started a diversity and racial inclusion advisory group of community members, including photographer Aaron Douglas and Marlon Williams from KVIVA. And at the end of August, Burning Man Project acknowledged that, quote, we have a long way to go to make Black Rock City and other Burning Man spaces truly radically inclusive, and we are here to do the work. And they just announced the actions they are taking. Their first initiatives address some of the demands in Faviana's petition, including unconscious bias and anti-racism training for the staff and board, looking at the diversity of their staff and rethinking their hiring process, and trying to increase participation of Black, Indigenous, and other people of color by changing how they select theme camps and artists, as well as through outreach and funding. Faviana says it's a strong start, but she's quick to point out that there are no specifics or measurable goals, no numbers, dollars, or timelines. And Dom knows that some burners will continue to say, stay out of politics, and that a few will respond to any mention of Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter.
It's a little troubling that we know that those voices are out there, but we want to be a part of the conversation. We want to be an organization and a culture that does good in the world. And I think that there is a recognition that sitting on the sidelines and not getting involved is not the move right now, even if your language isn't perfect.
Burning Man has changed a lot since 1986, when it started as a word-of-mouth, anything-goes gathering of a few hundred people. The event, which now attracts upwards of 80,000 people, is just one part of a larger nonprofit with a $48 million budget, a year-round staff of more than 100, and a mission to spread its 10 guiding principles way beyond the playa. As I see it, the organization has tried to have it both ways for a while now. Much like the tech giants that have grown up alongside it, Burning Man Project wants to be both counterculture and establishment. It wants to own the container, but not really take responsibility for what the community fills it with. It wants to set priorities and pick winners, but not acknowledge its position of power. Perhaps this moment was inevitable. Perhaps there is an inherent and irreconcilable tension between radical self-expression and radical inclusion. I mean, how do you reconcile the radically expressive or a bomby art car with an offensiveness that makes people feel excluded and unwelcome? Like many in this community, I have been trekking to the middle of the Nevada desert for 3 decades to get away from the real world and to create an alternate reality, something better than the default. And like many, I rolled in with a vehicle overstuffed with gourmet provisions, small luxuries, and a host of power tools. This is a beautiful mirage fueled by creativity, denial, and gasoline. but 2020 seems to be a year of reckoning on so many fronts. Perhaps this is an opportunity for the Burning Man community. Instead of trying to keep the real world at bay, maybe this is our chance to transform it, to become a model of what's possible instead of an escape from what's happening. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of The Intersection at Burning Man. We will continue to produce new episodes periodically and also share some pieces produced from others in the Burning Man community. So stay tuned. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to The Intersection podcast wherever you get your audio fix. And if you want to know more about the podcast or the project, head to theintersection.fm. The Intersection is a co-production of David Boyer, that's me, and KALW. Jonathan Davis is the associate producer. This episode was edited by Lisa Morehouse with an assist from Jesse Wiener, Janae Darden, and Gabe Graben, who also engineered the series. The theme music is from Eric Pearson. Until next time, I'm David Boyer, and this is The Intersection.